November 25, 2020, it's a Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah.
Waffle okay. Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. I think it's the last Wednesday in November. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south because we're still in quite quarantino mode. But I am not totally man alone because those engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got Mr. Richard Lloyd with me. I was thinking of the Civil War thing, Chickamauga, but Chattanooga is the town.
That's right. Chattanooga is the town, and Chickamauga is nearby where they had a big battle, I guess.
Right.
In the Civil War.
Yeah, 150, 160 years ago. Hopefully we don't have any more of those.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself. Hopefully we won't have one of those in our future.
Yeah. Now, oh, I should tell the people we heard John Coltrane and Miles Davis doing two bass hit.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, Richard, you'll hear the music when you hear the show because I put it on digitally.
That's good stuff.
People don't pay no attention behind the man behind the curtain here.
Yeah, I wore out my copy of, I just lost the title.
Yeah, two bass hit.
Burns the Music Down or Bitches Brew.
Oh,
Yeah.
That's great stuff. That's a little later. This is more in the 50s. And then we heard from you, Should Have Known Better.
Right, from Alchemy.
Right, right. Richard, first off, I got to say, I read your book in 3 days, Everything is Combustible. It's such a great, and especially people I recommend, if you're into music or just a story of a life, a journey, you know, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's a fun read. It's a fun to write.
Yeah, I mean, I blew through it. I couldn't put it down. I loved it.
That's so sweet of you to say. Yeah. Thank you.
For one thing, you got a great style. It's econo. It's right to the point, like Mr. Hemingway or something.
Uh-huh. Well, I used a voice recognition software package, and I didn't actually type. I hate to type. I'm not very good at it, and when you type, it slows everything down.
Yeah.
So I talked the book.
Oh, wow. Kind of,
I was on a PC and used something called Dragon Naturally Speaking.
Okay. I don't want to use this word too strongly, but you dictated it.
Yeah, I dictated it. That's absolutely correct.
Here, okay, for the people who haven't read the book, but I want everybody to go read it, because you start way back with your earliest, for listeners here, can you give your earliest musical recollection?
Well, it was playing a little baby piano, 28 keys, but it was in tune and a very nice little baby piano. And I remember I would play it, and when I was like, four, and I went to my mom and I said, can you teach me how to play chords, you know, on the piano? Because I could play two notes would always sound good together, but three, you know, you never knew. So she said, Richard, I don't know how to play the piano. Ask your grandmother. So I asked her, and she said, Richard, I'm sorry, I don't know how to play the piano. And nobody did. And I asked for lessons, but we were dirt poor, and they couldn't afford them. That was my first, you know, I used to play one note and just listen to it subside and thinking in my mind, well, it's fading, but it never really goes to nothing. Somewhere, it's still playing, like Spinal Tap.
Yeah, that's resonance.
Yeah, right.
Now, this was in New Jersey, right?
What was in New Jersey? That was Pittsburgh.
Oh, it was in Pittsburgh. Oh, okay.
I was born in
That's right. Pennsylvania. Okay. My memory is terrible sometimes, like lots of times. So I'm sorry. So, but
it's a very interesting thing I've found out that since I wrote the book, I don't have to remember those stories anymore. You know, it's like write it down and then forget about it.
That's great, great, great point. Great point. But, I mean, to remember back to 2 and 3 years old, that's good memory.
Yeah, it's always been with me, that kind of core, I guess, identity of I. You know, in this strange body that couldn't, didn't obey me.
Right.
And I was trapped in it, you know, had to make the best of it, still doing that.
Yeah, that's part of the shift that you got to pull. Okay, what about at school? Did you have any music at school, like the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No. When I was about 10, I started playing drums. And I got like a snare drum for Christmas and then a cymbal for Easter and then, you know, something for my birthday. And it was about 3 years I played the drums. And then as when I got the final pieces of the kit, I was switching to guitar. So I can still play a little bit of drums.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, if you can play drums, you can play anything, right? That's the heart, especially rhythm music.
Gave me a good clock, internal clock.
What steered you to the guitar?
Oh, man. I was searching for something that, I mean, I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and I couldn't figure out in my scientific mind what was making this huge sociological movement, you know, worldwide, Beatlemania. I mean, people that didn't go through it can't really understand the quality of it and the tremendous impact that they had. And it was like a couple of years after that, and I started listening to, I was listening to blues, and I was listening to jazz, and I was listening to, you know, whatever was constituted rock music in the 60s. And I realized that it was, the guitar was like their magic wand, that, you know, playing the guitar was like opened up a door to a new world. And I had a hallucination, an audio hallucination that said, you need to play a stringed instrument.
Whoa. So, that's right. I remember that in the book. What was the first, can you remember the first record you bought with your own money?
It was probably 12 by 5 by the Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah.
Or Love Me Do on Tolly Records, a single. Used to buy a lot of singles and records. And I was in the Columbia Record Club.
Oh, yeah.
Where they send you these, and there wasn't very much that was good. But I had all of the Ventures stuff and Beach Boys stuff. You know, that was pretty good. But a lot of the stuff was just smalls.
Who was the first rock and roll that you saw live? What was the first gig you saw? Can you remember?
Oh, gee, I used to go, in New York, I used to go to the Hotel Diplomat in Midtown Manhattan, and they had shows with rock bands. And I can't remember, there was one band I used to go see, but I have no idea who they were. Then I started going to the Village Theater, which became the Fillmore East, and I saw like the Grateful Dead, the Jeff Beck Group, all those groups that played there.
Oh, yeah, there's stories in the book about Percy, I mean Led Zeppelin.
Right.
You get backstage.
Right. He needed some hash.
Right.
And I had the hash. Not beef hash, but nice smokable hash.
Okay, yeah. People over here, we call it hash.
Hash, yeah, that's right.
Here, I want to play number 9 from you.
Just Crying all alone. Seen, heard, liberated. Spears passing through space, shadows bent on being lit, luminescent. Spears passing through. Bent on and constant, smashing hours, minutes, seconds, determined to cage a shadow. Ethereal spears passing, shadows bent on being lit, luminescent, to cage a shadow, no gas, no sides, holding oil with open hands, dropping, pouring, spilling in every direction, upside and down. Side to side, through everything and in everything, pushing everything aside while still not seen. Lurking in themselves, but keen. Keen to come forth and spell out this simple message. There is no fear. Just avoiding the light that needs to be seen. Careful how you build cages. Be sure to remember where the crucial connections are. And when you are ready, pull them out. Smash them out and see the whole thing fall. The whole thing needs to fall. It needs to fall. The whole thing needs to lay down, dissolve, disperse, so as to reassemble, amalgamate, rejoin, and that's it. Spears passing through shadows, bent on being lit, burn bright, bring a luminescent light. As it is, not as you thought it was. It leaves you as it is, not as you thought it was. Jesus.
call me. Help me, please. Help me. Oh, no. Come on, hey.
Bob from Pedro Show, that chunk of music. We started number 9 from Richard Lloyd. Then something live from Richard Hell and the Voidoids, You Gotta Lose. I think he told me this was the first bass line he ever wrote.
Oh, really?
Yeah, You Gotta Lose.
You Gotta Lose was the motto of a guy that ran the guitar store called We Buy on 48th Street. Like, I would buy a guitar from him and like a week later bring it back to sell it back to him. And he would always offer like, you know, 10 cents on the dollar. And he'd complain like, I only bought it like yesterday, man. And they'd say, well, you gotta lose.
You gotta lose. Oh, man, I didn't know that. But, man, you know how 48th Street, Manny's, all that stuff was there?
Yeah.
It's all gone now.
I know. The whole, all music, that music road. It's just gone with the wind.
Yeah. The only thing that's stable is change. Okay, after that was Dose Will Wheat for me, Harper Roos, St. George, Liquid Energy, 38 Tigers, Reef Purdy. My Grandfather's Gold Watch from Boma's Prendon to Cage's Shadow from Golden Ghost. And finally, You Doing Some Jimmy, Purple Haze,
yeah.
And I Don't Live
yeah.
the Day. Yeah, I found this live. It's really good. Now, in the book,
cool.
In the book, Jimmy, I think it's 2 socks in the gut, 1 in the face.
Yeah. Well, he turned around, he put on his jacket and turned around and cold cocked me. Face, stomach, face. And I sat down.
That's it. That's it.
And I just sat down and thought, well, he punched me. Jimi Hendrix just punched me.
But it don't end there, because later he's in the yellow Corvette crying, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember the color, but he used to get... He had Corvettes that he would smash and send to the drum. He had them like Ludwig do champagne sparkle. Remember that color?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he would have his cars done in red sparkle or whatever.
But he was crying because he was sorry for hitting you.
Yeah, he was sorry for me. He realized that, you know, it had gotten out of hand and he had just made a mistake. We were all drunk, and I thought it was great. Only I heard, after I sat down, I heard somebody they talking, and they were saying, somebody tried to beat up Jimmy. We'll kill him.
Uh-oh.
Find him. And so I sat, you know, till everybody else had left. And the guy said, you got to go. I got to clean up and lock the theater up. So I went upstairs and Jimmy was there in his Corvette. He rolled down the window and called me over to the car and took my hands and was crying on them. And I thought that was pretty great. I just said, go home, Jimmy. Go get some sleep, man. You know?
Wow. Now, Jimmy's influence on your guitar playing.
Well, my best friend at that time was Velvet Turner. You can see him in some videos about Jimmy. He was like Jimmy's protege.
Sure. I seen him. And you talk about him in the book, too.
Right. And so Velvet used to go. Jimmy got an apartment on West 12th Street in the village. And I lived nearby on Jane Street. And so Velvet would go play guitar with Jimmy. And then he would come over to my house and show me the stuff that they were playing, working on. It was all like Jimmy's songs from the first and second records.
Wow.
So I got that kind of inculcation.
Only 1 degree of separation.
Yeah, 1 degree of separation. Yeah. I spent a lot of time around rock stars, quote unquote. I don't know how, but I managed to get backstage all the time.
Right.
That was before security, you know. Was you'd go to the sound check and see the band, and nobody bothered you, you know. And I remember going up to the Grateful Dead and saying, hey, Jerry, I got no money, man. Can you put me on your guest list? And he said, no, I'm Phil of all these business people. And he said, Phil, you got anybody in New York on your guest list? And he said, nah, I don't know anybody. So he put me on the guest list.
The bass man, Phil Esch.
Yeah.
That's great. So you think it was important, though? I mean, meeting people, but music.
Yeah. I was studying the vibe that came off them. I wanted to know if they were, like, regular people. Or what did they have? What did they have that made them work in this way on people? You know, that was my great research. So I wouldn't even talk to them much. I was like a teenage kid. So I'd just get in the dressing room and just sit and watch what happened. So I did that with The Who and the Allman Brothers and a number of other acts where I'd just sit in the dressing room and watch as things went down. I once got with Led Zeppelin. They ushered everybody out of the room, and I was sitting in a chair, and I thought, well, he hasn't asked me to leave. So I just sat there, and they were tuning up and picking out clothes to wear and stuff like that. And the singer, Robert Plant, his nickname was Percy, he saw me and took a start and called for the road manager, Richard Cole. He said, what's that guy doing? And I was just sitting there. And Richard came over and he said, what are you doing? And he said, would you please leave? And I said, well, since you put it like that, of course. Polite, you know?
Sure, sure.
He had come in and was like, everybody get the hell out. And swearing up and down and pushing people out the door, you know? So the band could get ready.
What about Pete Townsend?
I was at the show where they had the fire.
Yeah.
Me and Velvet and I were at that show. And when they evacuated people, we didn't go. And there was nobody in the theater. And I said, Velvet, do you smell smoke? And he said, no. I said, do you want to really leave with all the people? He said, no. So we went back in the dressing room and ate some of their food. He had pinball machines. Bill Graham had like laid out all these pinball machines in the back.
For Pete?
They had pinball wizards.
Yeah, right, right. That's what I was going to say, pinball wizards.
In the dressing room, which was pretty cool. And then I saw Pete jamming with the guy from the Loving Spoonful. Who was that?
John Sebastian.
Yeah, John Sebastian and Pete Townsend were playing, and there was a harmonica guy, and Keith Moon came and wanted to play drums. They got him some cardboard boxes. He was like pounding on them.
Can you remember the first gig you played in front of people?
The first gig I ever played in front of people was...
Yeah.
I sat in with John Lee Hooker.
Wow.
And thought, I went, you know, there was nobody to prevent you from at the jazz workshop. Nobody at the door, you know, no guard. So I just went in the dressing room and sat down. And he was talking with another person. He looked over at me and he said, and you, Sonny, what's your name? I said, Richard. He said, Richard, what'd you do? I said, well, I play guitar. He says, are you good? I said, I met some. And he says, no, you're one of the greats. You're going to play with me tonight. I'm going to call you. And if you ain't there, I'm going to send for you. I'm going to come to your house and get you. Have the light turned on and all of this stuff. And I was like a nervous wreck. But he literally did call me up and had me on stage and all the band members were rolling their eyes and they gave me a guitar and put it on and he did some boogie that went on for 15 minutes and gave me a solo section. You know, everybody in the band took the solo in by turns. And when it came to me, he went around the chord progression like twice. He wouldn't let me off the hook. He could have put cymbals between my knees and that would have worked.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. That's your first gig, man.
Yeah, that was my first in front of paying people. They weren't paying to see me, though.
No, yeah, I understand. I understand.
Sure.
but still, what a pad shitter.
Yeah.
But, you know, either sink or swim, I guess. You got that song, right? Field of Fire, Trial by Fire.
Right. That's what it was.
Well, I think it's amazing. We're at the end of the first hour, November 25, 2020 edition, Wapito Show special guest, Richard Lloyd. Hold tight for hour two.
You know, that's one of the reasons why digital sounded so bad. There weren't enough ones and zeros to draw a circle.
That's right. That's right. You're getting a shortcut on the truth.
And especially on treble notes.
Oh, yeah. And also, I think the bottom hurts a little, too, especially with the phase.
Anyway. Yeah, now they got more numbers, so it's a smoother curve.
Right. November 25, 2020, second hour, Wat Pedro Show.
night I was talking to a friend of mine. You don't know him, his name is Jack. He said, Sammy, I've gotta catch a freight train. I'm gonna ride it down the railroad track.
Go ahead and do what you're Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for picking me up. Quack, quack. Quack, quack, shit guy.
Quack, quack, shit guy.
Quack, quack, shit guy.
Love flows on my lips.
opening act, and we chose a comedian because we figured that we didn't want any competing loud noise before we played.
Yeah.
So we got a comedian, and he did a pretty good job, and I think that was pretty rare.
Yeah, it was. It was like kind of his shtick was mainly kind of sound effects on the microphone, like he's riding a stagecoach or shit like that. That's what I remember. But in the gig, when you guys came out, the first tune, I think it was the first song off the second record or something, your guitar fell off. Do you remember that?
No, that I don't remember.
Well, you kept strumming. You kept strumming, even though there was no guitar. It was on the deck. When some dude came and put it back up on you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Down with the ship.
I should tell the people, we started the second hour off with Alchemy, Richard Lloyd. Sam Bennett after that, Do What You're Able. Eiko Ishibashi with Licking Salt. Waku Waku Kingdom Bird. Devilish Kiss from the Thomas Scott Quintet out of Liverpool. And finally, Misty Eyes, Richard Lloyd. So, yeah, so getting to play that gig when it was time for your solo. So, I mean, you didn't have any time to work on it, right? You were just waiting for him to call you.
Who?
John Lee Hooker. It was his idea you were going to come up there.
Right.
So you're just waiting.
It's just a 1-4-5 boogie.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's nothing too complicated. Three chords.
Well, you know, fuck what TVI Stooges, that's one chord.
Yeah, that's right. You don't need that many chords.
You don't even need three. But,
no.
You know, this time when Alchemy came out,
right.
This is when you wanted to start your own band, right?
Exactly. Well, Television broke up, and we all went our separate ways. And both Tom and I made records for Trump. And I made Alchemy in 79.
Now, did you have tunes before that you didn't want to get to TV and that they were just your... Yeah, okay.
Right. Well, I have two, like one songwriting credit on each of the first two records.
Yeah.
Being Late and Days, which are very pretty songs.
Yeah, Days is a beautiful song. And,
It's sort of a weird riff that's taken off a wrong version of Mr. Tambourine Man by the Byrds, the opening riff, backwards. Of course, the riff wasn't correct. But...
Yeah, I can hear that. I can hear that. And then that was actually them covering Bobby Dylan.
Right, of course.
You know, some of them Byrds records... They got those other people playing in the band, right, on the recordings, like Carole King and, what do they call Hal Blaine.
Right, the Wrecking Crew, they were called.
Right. Carole King claims they never were called, but she said they were called the Clique. I guess her and Hal Blaine.
Really?
Yeah, ended up having some kind of war or something. She's a great bass player, though.
You had a war with her?
I didn't, but I think she had one with Hal Blaine because he wrote book.
Yeah, well, she can be like, she can have that personality if you rub her the wrong way.
Right, hard charger. She's
hard charging.
Right, I want to play Blue and Gray here.
Cool.
Okay, Blue and Gray.
Thank you. days in mind may pass like a slow parade. Teach me lessons like I don't know.
For Pedro Show, Blue and Gray. Now, this is live. The spelling of gray, you used England.
Uh-huh.
Was that on purpose?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The word gray.
Yeah, gray. Isn't that some kind of conspiracy theory, the grays?
Oh.
Like alien,
Yeah, but I think over here we spell it with an A, and over there they spell it with an E.
Oh, yeah? Right. Yeah. Could be. You know, when I was little, I could not say the word aluminum till I was like 15. I would always pronounce it aluminium.
That's how they say it over there.
I know. I found that out much, much later, that they decided in 1925 to make this pronunciation officially aluminum.
Okay.
But I couldn't get my mouth to say that. It always went to aluminium. Then I found out, you know, so maybe I was a chemist in England in a previous life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Then we had, I found some stuff on the RichardLloyd.com, The Dirty Diary with Broken Guitar String Blues. Yeah. And then I also saw Boldwood. I played this, Wedding Shoes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then we heard Botanist with Gladitisa, which I guess is a kind of flower. And Papier Tigre, which is French for paper tiger, Chimera, which is kind of a monster, right, that turns you to stone. If you look at. And then finally, Soldier Blue, Revisited.
Uh-huh.
Lloyd. Yeah, Revisited, but you came back to it?
Yeah, well, I figured, you know, the world could always use a war song. Because there's always going to be war somewhere. So it's kind of using the Vietnam experience as a template to write a song.
Oh, you know, Ig told me that's what he did for Search and Destroy.
I didn't write Search and Destroy.
No, Ig did, the Stooges. I know you didn't, but what I'm saying, sorry to be confusing, but how big was the Vietnam?
I like to be confused. It's
Okay. But what was the Vietnam War? I think it's hard for people to know what the Vietnam War was like. You know, I was just a boy then. I was born in 57, so I'm a little
young. Oh, you missed out, luckily, on the draft. I was right smack in the middle of that draft. I was number 7.
Whoa.
But they didn't take me because I'd already been in a mental hospital.
Right. It's in the book. Yeah. And the Stooges guys told me, too, about what they had to do to keep out of that. That was a heavy deal.
Yeah, there were guys wearing dresses.
Yeah, right.
They would take those guys, you know, just go, well, you're in, you know. You can't get up that way. And then you would see the psychiatrist, and that was the big chance, you know, because if you...
Right.
And I knew how to solve the war problem. And the guy said, how? He said, shoot officers of both sides. And then, you know, the ordinary soldier wants to go home.
Sure, of course. What was the word for that? Frag, right?
Yeah, frag your superiors.
Yeah, I think it was about by that time it was like, we better cut this shit out.
Yeah, hope so.
Right. But, the letter from the psychiatrist. I remember that those guys telling, the Ashton brothers telling me about that. You would see the guy and hopefully get a letter that would like, and you did it with that. Okay. That bit of advice.
We sat outside the psychiatrist's office and people would go in and come out either smiling, a thumbs up that they got out, or with their head down, if they're going in the army and going right to Vietnam.
Oh,
it's cannon fodder.
Right. People, it's the end of the second hour, November 25, 2020, Dishwap Pedro Show, special guest Richard Lloyd, hold tight for hour 3. November 25, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
supervillains. They know exactly what they're doing, and there ain't no superheroes to save the day. I'm just gonna come out and say it. We ain't got the rest of our lives to get ready. This is the future now. Fly away, boats in blue. Let's take sails for the dead. Where every old hate is new again, and every kindness gone. Yeah. Hear me out now. They stole the elections fair and square. Don't you get it? 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 Watch out. Here we are, alive in these times. We better get ourselves together. We've got to come together to make it better. And in the meantime, we've got to save ourselves. And in this meantime, just got to fix democracy. Yeah, democracy. That's all.
It's always been broken.
Thank you.
Rocket Redux, because they wanted to have something for the merch table, and they used some kind of radio broadcast, and it was kind of lame, so you said, hey, let's do it at my place.
Exactly. Yeah. I said, you know, we can get a much better product at my place than we can from, you know, the radio, where you go in and they mic you up in like 20 minutes and get a balance in 10 minutes and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
So that's no fun.
Now, you were saying there was a lot of fighting off stage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
But that bit,
you know, they were fighting in 75 when they opened for television in Cleveland. Then they were, the guy who was playing guitar then, Peter Lautner, he died very early on, alcohol poisoning and whatever, pancreatitis. And he just, anyway, so Cheetah Chrome actually wrote me an email about would I like to do RFTT, Rocket from the Tombs, RFTT. And I said yes, because I wanted to play with Cheetah, and I didn't know what RFTT meant. It was Rocket from the Tombs. And I went to L.A. for rehearsals and a show, and during the first number in the rehearsal, Cheetah and David got in a big fight, and David walked off stage, and it was a big mess.
Oh, man.
Now, almost came to blows.
Can I ask you about this story? I heard that Peter Lautner tried out for TV.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have known about that, but
okay.
I quit, and for a brief period of time. And then I walked into a restaurant, and Tom and Fred were there eating, and they said, what are you up to? And I said, not much. And what are you up to? And I said, not much. So we got back together. Nobody even knew, because that was very early.
Okay. Here's another story I heard. When they had a band, but they wouldn't do gigs without another guitar. You're the guy who made it possible to do gigs.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
See?
That was a great tour, though. You know, we did a circle tour of the U.S. in a van. No bus.
Oh, no. I've done a couple of those.
I called them the circle tour because you go all around the country. And
that's right. Yeah. It's like a big loop.
A big loop. Yeah. I did one of those with John Doe.
John Doe. You know John Doe. He's a great guy.
On his first record, Meet John Doe.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm on the whole record.
How did you meet him?
Gary Gersh from Geffen Records called me and said, I got this, the John from X is going to make a solo record, and we need some street, you know, credibility. Can you play guitar on it? And I said, well, depends, you know. I didn't know who X was. I had stopped paying attention to the scene. So
It was Hollywood scene here in the late 70s.
Right, a Hollywood scene. So I didn't really know much of what was going on.
But you ended up a sideman for some other people, too, like Matthew Sweet.
I'm on like 9 of his records.
Lloyd Cole?
No.
Okay.
Once we were at a party, and he had a big beard, so he was like unrecognizable. And so they said, I want you to meet somebody. And the guy said, Richard Lloyd Cole. And I was like, what? Little Richard Cole. Yeah, it didn't make much sense. But then I recognized him.
But what about that kind of...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Richard.
He used to call me, Lloyd Cole, and ask me how to play Glory, which is all of 3 notes. sort of. It's a little more complex than that, but not much.
Oh, it's a good lick though. That's cool. On that record, the Days is good too, but that one's good. What about that kind of work, Sideman?
Yeah, well, it's interesting work. You know, I don't get much studio work because my style is recognizable. And most people want the guitar to be sort of not the star. So I don't get much studio work, but with Matthew, I had a long run. And with John, he did that record and we did that tour. You know, so I went over to France and did a record with a guy named Stefan Eicher called Carcassonne.
Oh, yeah.
Went to number one in France and knocked Phil Collins out of the number one slot.
Good.
Yeah.
What about like a contemporary, you know, I think Bob Quine and Ivan Julian ended up doing stuff like that, too. And all you guys have such individual styles.
Right.
I love it, man. I mean, huge inspiration for us here in San Pedro. D. Boone loved the way you guys played. But between you three, like those three, you, Ivan right, Julian, sure. Bob Quine, how did you guys relate? Was it wasn't like competition, was it?
No, not really. I mean, with Matthew Sweet, he used all three of us. And on the records, he's like pretty much the girlfriend is the biggest record he did. And it was like half Bob and half me. But we didn't do it the same day, so we didn't write meet. I knew Bob from when he worked at the movie poster store, Cinemavelia. And when Richard Hell asked him to join the Voidoids, he wasn't going to do it because he thought, who wants to see a 50-year-old bald guy play rock guitar? And I said, man, you have that's such a look. Nobody looks like that.
Yes, right.
You'll do great.
Once I got to record with him, Freeze Out, Visions of Johanna.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that the first guy he saw play electric guitar, he was from Kent, Ohio, Kent or Akron. And he said it was Buddy Holly, 1957.
Wow. Yeah.
And everybody told me, watch out, he's going to tear your head off. He's a mean man. And he was the nicest guy in the fucking world.
Yeah. No, he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that same thing happened to me with David Thomas. He's going to rip your head off, Watt. And he was very nice.
Right. Yeah. Unless he gets annoyed. Which is just about over anything.
Yeah. Okay, I want to play Field of Fire. This is great, too. Oh, I didn't tell people what else we play. Bad Trip from Another Umbrella. Journey in Santa Donata. You know, that Alice Coltrane, from Bronze Age UFO out of Baltimore. Tallum with It's Always Been Broken, The Land Hammers from History, and What Love Is from Rocket from the Tombs with Richard Lloyd. Now we're going to hear Field of Fire, Richard Lloyd.
Yeah.
Wofford Peter Show, last music for this edition. Field of Fire, Richard Lloyd. Glimpse Trio, Light of Lime. Light of Lime, what? Sunset, something live from Poland with the Scalpel Big Band. Left Brain Reflections, Quantum Entanglement. This is from Hi Maya. Alan Ravenstein from the Perubu was in this project, the Cleveland thing. And then finally, Richard Lloyd with Stiff Baiters. This is something live at Seabees with you guys covering the Stones. This could be the last time.
Right.
I think Fred Smith was on bass.
Oh, yeah. We used to have these big sort of jams sessions with Fred Smith and Johnny Thunders and I and a bunch of other people would sing songs, etc., at Max's Kansas City or CBGB's.
You know, there's a story from the book. I mean, there's tons of them, buttloads. I love it. But one of them, you're in the city. You're in San Francisco, and you decide to go to SoCal, and you start walking with a sack of clothes and a guitar. And you end up donating the sack. You get to Silver Lake with just your guitar. No case. Right.
No, I had to throw my suitcase in the Pacific. Because I just couldn't carry the guitar and the suitcase. So I put my favorite clothes in the guitar case and carried on.
Oh, man. And, yeah, and you're living in Silver Lake. I mean, we're talking in the 70s, you know.
Right. I slept through the big earthquake, and I was so pissed. I woke up, and all these things were on the floor, and I thought, we've been robbed, but the door was still locked. And then I found out that all the water got sloshed out of swimming pools. It was 72.
Right.
And I wanted to feel an earthquake, you know. I got to feel one in Japan.
Oh, wow. Jinshin, I think they say. You're in Chattanooga now.
But I am?
And you're doing music.
No, with the virus? No, everybody's on pause.
What about composing and recording?
Well, I have a guitar next to me, and all day I play it, you know, and work out some things and keep my spirits up for when this damn virus has run its course.
Right.
Which I suppose will be like another year.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get through it, but it is, yeah.
We'll get through it, but yeah, it's a
pain. What besides that, that's...
You know, at one point they were talking about having you and I play together. Did anybody ever mention that to you?
You know who did? Grant Hart.
Uh-huh.
The drummer of Husker Du asked me.
Right.
He said that you were in St. Paul for a little bit.
I was. I went there, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I was there for about a year.
And when he asked me that, man, I fell on the deck. I said, fuck yeah. But then nothing.
Yeah, it's too bad it didn't happen.
Yeah, maybe nothing came of it.
Maybe then there's still a future, though.
Well, shit. With bells on, you just give the word, Richard. I'm there for you for free. Man, you know, sort of like getting to play, you know, getting called up on the stage, you know.
Yeah.
I'd want to bring you the best. What was Fred Smith, great bass man.
Wonderful. Yeah, he made a big difference in television.
But he's also on your records. Is he on Alchemy?
Alchemy, yeah. He's the bass player on Alchemy.
Yeah.
And he did both mine and Tom Verlaine's Elektra Records.
Wow. So he has a... Well, bass players got to kind of be like that. You look good making the other guys look good.
Uh-huh. That's right. I always say with the bass, if you can't really hear it, you feel it.
Yeah.
It's perfect, you know?
Yeah. It's, you know, like a lot of people when they're in the head, they look at the tile. Well, we're the grout. The bass is the grout.
Yeah, I thought the guitar player was the groutery, but any hole, he's going to fill it with like 1,000 notes.
Yeah, too many notes.
Too many damn notes.
But that's what's great about your style, man. You make yours count. I love it. They're not gratuitous, man. They ain't just fucking...
No, they got to tell a melodic story. You know, it's like a little song inside a song.
Right. Well, in the book, you talk about how you really work on solos. You really develop them.
With television, I did. And with my own stuff, I do. With some of the things like Matthew Sweet, he did barely any rehearsals. And I would hear the song like two or three times. And then they would start recording. And they would keep stuff that I would have redone. And you said, well, your mistakes are better than most people's best playing. And then on the plane home, I would suddenly realize, you know, what the song was after the fact.
That's a trip. Any advice for anybody young getting into this racket?
Well, you can't expect somebody to come along and pluck you out of it, obscurity and make you a quote star end quote. You got to develop your own little scene. So get a bunch of your buddies together and hopefully you find a place that nobody else really wants to take and, you know, push you out of and create your own little scene. And if you can do that, then people will come.
That's great advice. That's great. Now, you got a website, richardlloyd.com. People can go
also,
there.
Also, everythingiscombustible.com.
Everythingiscombustible.com, yeah.
Which is the title of my book, Everything is Combustible.
Which I recommend to everybody. Even if you're not into music, you got to read this book, man. I love it.
Yeah, I hope it's some kind of literature.
It is.
Not just a... tell-all or the dish.
No, it's a journey. It's a journey, and I could relate.
Right.
I could relate to it. I mean, and then also,
cool.
Also, you expanded my mind. So thank you so much, Richard.
All right.
Okay.
People, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, and when we get over this, this sitch with the stuff, and you get some new music recorded, can you come back on the show and we talk about it?
I absolutely would.
Excuse me?
I said I would love to.
Ah, this is beautiful. Thank you so much. It's been the November 25, 2020 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.